Time for our local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero, folks, and Max Breitniker from Grace Hill Farm in Cummington. Now, Phil is unveiling some amazing cheese. What we've talked about many times on this show is the plight of dairy farmers, especially in New England, in regards to how hard it is to maintain a dairy farm. So many, we had a guest on just a week or so ago that they had to repurpose what their farm was all about because it's hard to make it against the big factory farms in the Midwest. And yet, Max, you decided, you know what? I'm going to start a dairy farm. It's like saying,
I'm
going to open up an 8-track shop in downtown Northampton.
Very similar.
So what possessed you to start a dairy farm?
So I've always had a love of cheese. I've been working in agriculture on and off pretty much since I was in high school. In 2004, I did an internship at a place called Jasper Hill Farm in Greensboro, Vermont, for these sort of, now these kind of very large all-star cheesemakers. At that point, that was their first year and I was their first intern. And it was a very similar setup. And in fact, our layouts and approach is pretty much based on their farm.
And so your farm now is Grace Hill.
Grace Hill.
In Cummington.
Yep, Grace Hill.
How many cows do you have?
I have 10 cows right now.
10 cows.
Yeah, a mere 10.
Ask him what he can do with 10 cows.
Tell me what you can do with 10 cows.
Well, with 10 cows, we're making between 200 and 300 pounds of cheese a week.
A week?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're very big cows.
Uh-huh. That's interesting, though. It's almost like the slow food version of dairy, I guess, and if you want to think of it like that. Like, if you had 100 cows, you'd have to operate a much different sort of business model, I'm assuming. But because you have 10, and you can still make, you know, this much cheese, maybe is it more manageable because of that?
Well, it's possible. And we started so small. And as far as I know, we're one of, if not the smallest dairy in the state at this point.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just silly to start with a giant herd.
It'd be unheard of.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But also because it's right now it's just me.
People love cheese so much. They usually know it comes from milk. And that's where it ends for most people, including me mainly. I've had a couple of cheesemakers on over the course of the years with you, Phil. But you have brought cheeses here. Kind of cheeses did you bring?
So these are two of our five. And these are sort of exemplary of the softer cheese types that we make. And so they are going to be aged for less time. This blue, for example, is about 5 months old at this point.
So harder cheeses are aged longer? Is that what makes them harder?
That's generally true. And no, not necessarily, but that's part of the process.
Uh-huh.
What makes them harder is actually during the cheese making itself, you're going to push more whey out of the curd by heating it to a higher temperature and stirring it longer.
Right, and putting a spider on her tuffet.
So if you start with, you've milked the cow at 5 a.m., how long does it take?
We use the milk that we have within 24 hours of it coming out of the cow. In addition to that, the morning that we're making cheese, we milk the cows directly into the cheese vat. So essentially the milk doesn't touch anything, it just goes right into the cheese vat. Once you get all the milk in the vat, so I'll go through like the blue process. The blue, you're heating the milk to about 32 degrees Celsius, which is, 89 or
so. You have to learn Celsius to make cheese?
Yeah, this is the thing. Everything is in Celsius, liters, kilograms. It's like, because it's all from Europe.
It's all smarter.
It's metric. Then you're adding the cultures, which are basically bacteria types that you want to flourish in the milk, which will eventually come through in the final cheese. So like our blue has, I'd say, 5 bacteria types in it. In addition to that, it has blue mold, which is Penicillium roquefortii, which is the stuff that comes through.
And it's penicillin, really?
It's penicillin.
I've always kind of said that as a joke.
But it's Penicillium roquefortii, which is a variation on what standard penicillin.
So you're adding the mold to it. I always also assumed that blue cheese must be older because it's become moldy.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
It's not letting it sit out and become moldy, but it is sort of because you've introduced the mold.
Exactly, yeah.
But so if I get mold on my regular cheese, don't eat that mold and just say, well, that's all regular good stuff for you.
Well, it depends on what it is. All right. I would doubt that you, within your house, I'm not sure about your living conditions, but you have any dangerous mold. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Then when it's at the right point for what you want in your final cheese, you're going to add rennet.
And what is rennet? If you don't want to buy it, you rennet.
Rennet is an enzyme that's present in the stomach lining of calves and goes away at a certain point in their life. But essentially what it does is the enzyme binds the proteins in the milk and essentially turns it into a solid food. So
that's so weird because it's like the stomach of a cow works on the stuff that comes out of the udder of a cow. It's almost like you could make a big cow out of cheese, or a cow would make itself into a big ton of cheese.
All mammals have some version of rennet in there.
I know I do.
When they're young. Otherwise, you couldn't use milk and you couldn't use the proteins and stuff. It would just all go through you.
What kind of cheese is this?
This is a variation on something called a Chaos, which is a French blue Mirin cheese, similar, probably closest to a Camembert.
And you can eat the rind.
You can, yeah. Yeah.
Most people don't do it, though. Isn't that weird?
Well, it depends. All bloomy rinds, so if you see a white rind or a soft rind, you can usually eat it.
Mm-hmm.
But like with the blue hard-aged cheeses, you can eat the rind, but you generally don't want to.
Because it's just too hard.
Yeah, well, it's just dead bacteria, basically. Like this is still alive. You can see it's sort of still growing.
So the rind is a part of the cheese, actually. It's not like I think other people might think it like as a wrapper.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, people do wax cheeses on the outside or something, but all of ours are natural. Right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, that's delicious. Very mild.
Yep.
Not too stinky. No. Creamy. I'm trying to think of what kind of wine I might pair with.
This might be your first training as a cheese snob.
Well, I need to become a better cheese snob so I can maintain my wine snobbery. So I would say that this would maybe want to pair like a Pinot Noir or something like that. Not a California Pinot Noir, like French.
Generally, in the past, we've had these with like a Gruner Veltliner.
All right, let's go to the blue. My favorite is like a Cote Rôti, which is like a super decadent red wine with a super decadent cheese. That's almost too decadent for some people. So what would you drink with this?
I would just go with like a solid red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, these are so delicious. And where are they available, Max, from Grace Hill and Cummington?
We're at probably about 20 stores in and around the valley. Probably River Valley is the closest places to here.
Uh-huh. Creemery? Cummington Creemery?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. It only makes sense that you're an actual creamery in Cummington, that it would be the Cummington Creemery. On the road to cheese snobbery with Max Breitneicher from Grace Hill Farm in Cummington and Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero, folks. Buylocalfood.org.